Okay, thank you very much for coming to this seminar. As you read from the email, my seminar is going to have two parts. First one is related to a general presentation of intergovernment systems, past, present and future. And the second will be more technical, about singularities of elliptic surfaces and relation to integrability of dynamical systems. Hopefully the second part will not be too boring. And I'll try my best to be quite explicit. Okay. So these are the papers which we did in the last years. So my talk will be focused on the first paper. This one is just an example related to this one, with the theory of contemporary mathematics. And this one is another example related to this one. Then we have another direction which I did together with Corina, with Mirela's sister. The first one is modular system, which is published already. And the other one is submitted to a journal of mathematical physics. So then, and the paper in work is this one, related to the problem of Lax pairs for lattice equation, a problem which is really complicated. Now, because I said that the first part would be an introduction to the concept of integrability, we started with a question: what is integrability? So there is no definitive answer. Usually physicists believe that they know what is integrability. They think that integrability means to solve the equation, to have a closed form solution, an analytical solution. Or they believe that we have a Hamiltonian system, a finite dimensional Hamiltonian system, and we can find the integrals of motion and involution and then compute the solution by quadrature. Anyway, the first approach with a closed form solution is not correct. So I'm going to give you an example. This is the well-known logistic map, which was created by Mitchell Feigenbaum in 1974. And it is well-known that it's a chaotic mapping, depending on this parameter. If this parameter is more than 3.70 or something, then the mapping is fully chaotic. However, for this value, the mapping can be solved analytically with a closed-form solution. And the solution is general because it depends on arbitrary constant, which is the related to initial condition. However, the mapping is still chaotic, because you can see immediately that any error in the initial condition grows exponential. So the mapping is chaotic in some sense. But it's solvable. Why it's solvable? Because this parameter is in the is a fully ergodic region, so somehow the chaos is moved. It's the measure is unique in that. So we don't have a definition, but we can calculate the integrability. First one, the main important thing which is behind the integrability is the huge amount of hidden symmetry. Any integrable system must have behind it an algebraic structure, geometric structure with a huge amount of hidden symmetry. That's why it gives predictability and accuracy. Second, and I said it's not explicitly, it's not related mainly to the solution, but we are interested in long-time behavior, which comes from the symmetries and integrals. And the second and the third and very important, singularities plays a very important role. Why? Here I give some examples. Usually for any dynamical system, no matter it's ordinary differential equation or partial differential equations, for linear equations, the singularities are fixed, meaning that all the singularities of solutions are in the singular points of coefficients. In nonlinear case, the singularities becomes movable. And I give here a list of possible singular behavior. Here I have a pole. And you see that the pole depends on initial condition. Here I have a branch point. Here I have a logarithmic branch point. Here I have a transcendental singularity. And here I have an essential singularity. And integrability is compatible with, is not compatible with any kind of branching proliferation. So if I have an equation and make the Taylor expansion, the Lorentz expansion, around a point, if the branching is proliferating, so the first term would be, for instance, log, second would be log of log, then log of log of log, then the number of Riemann surfaces, the multivalueness is increasing. This is completely not compatible with integrality. The only one which is compatible is to have pole-like behavior. Because in that time we have just Riemann surface. We have complex plane plus infinity. So this is perfectly regular motion. This is usually called another property. subject will have only four light bulbs in lines. Okay. Now let me show you some revolution which took place in the history of integral systems. First one was between 70 and 85, explosion of soliton equations, developing of inverse scattering transform, bilinear formalized by Newtonian structure, and everything culminated with Jimbo-Miwa theory of integrable hierarchies. And they proved that behind any integral equation we have an infinite-dimensional algebras. This is practically the idea. We have a big structure with huge amount of hidden symmetry. This big structure is the infinite-dimensional algebras, and the solitons are generated by vertex operators in exactly the same way as creation and annihilation of operators in quantum mechanics. Then, practically in the same period, was the quantum version of the inverse scattering, the Fadeev group, and then discovery of quantum groups by Jimbo and Drinfeld. Drinfeld was awarded with medal, with Field Medal, and Jimbo was awarded with the Wigner Medal, but much more later. Then between 1990 and 2002, the explosion of the discrete equations, discrete mappings, and developing the main tools for discrete integrability, culminating with Sakai classification of all discrete monad equations. And then, up to present period, appearance of discrete geometry, tropical geometry, and new views of lattice equations. These are very brief descriptions of the main periods of integral systems. However, they triggered the other fundamental results in string theory, like WDP equations, integrability of topological theory as the Grobin proved in 93, the Witten-Kransevich conjecture, KDV hierarchy describing the intersection numbers of moduli space for algebraic curves, Zeiber-Witten theory, ADS-CFT, and many others. Okay? So, I have a system. I want to see if it's integrable. How can I do that? There are three main approaches. Symmetries and integrals. Well, it should have been symmetries here. It's wrong. It's not symmetries. It's symmetries and integrals. And because I told you at the beginning that usually physicists believe that in order to prove integrability, one must have a Hamiltonian system, I've chosen an example which is not at all Hamiltonian. It's the famous Lorentz system, the Lorentz attractor. So, you know, Lorentz attractor is very famous chaotic system. However, if I impose the movable singularity to be the worst poles, I may end up with some values of B sigma and R, which gives the integrable version of the system. And for this integrable version of the system, I can find an integral, which is no longer autonomous, it's no longer dependent on t. However, it is an integral because the derivative of k with respect to t is 0. This integral, together with the equation, after eliminating y and z, gives me this equation which can be transformed to a special function equation called the parameter 3. And the solution, so I have a general solution of the Lorentz system, because parameter 3 equation is an integral system with all the nice properties. Of course, the transformation is not very easy, so it's a rather complicated procedure. This is for ordinary differential equations. For partial differential equations, the main tool for integrability is computing multi-soliton solution. Suppose I have the celebrated KDV equation. The subscript means derivative with respect to x and t. Then suppose I have a substitution of this one, so dx squared is logarithm of some function. Then the system will be more complicated, but will be bilinear. The operator dx is nothing but an anti-symmetric derivative. And this equation can be solved exactly as the following solution, which looks very nice. It looks like a partition function of an easy model. You can see if mu1, mu n are like spins, then this is like a partition function of an easy model. And this form and this form was the root of the Jimbo-Miwa theory. That's why they constructed the whole integrable hierarchies as a motion of free fermions of the Riemann surface. That's why solitons behave like fermions in some sense. So, if a system has n soliton solution for any n, for any k, then the system is integrable. This tool, this detector of integrability is flawless so far. There is no counterexample. And the third one is the most powerful, also the most difficult, is the inverse spectral transform. The same equation, if it is integrable, can be written as a compatibility conditions of two operators. The advantage comes from the fact that I have a nonlinear world and go to the linear world because L and V are linear operators. and from the spectrum, from the scattering theory of L, because the spectrum is invariant, and this is because that B is q-symmetric, I can construct the solution. Also, the powers of the spectral operator gives me all integrals of motion which are in evolution. So I have the Hamiltonian structure, the solution and everything, and gives me also the hierarchy. Any integrals of motion gives another equation. That's why an integrable system is must be given in terms of hierarchy, not in terms of any of one equation, because I have an infinite number of equations here. I give you the second member or the five. The same L, but a very complicated B. Why it's very complicated? Because it's practically no method to compute L and B. You have to guess, and it's very complicated. Okay, this is with the case with continuous equations. Now let me go to discrete equations. So why discrete? Richter phenomenology, as you saw from the beginning when I wrote the logistic map, is a very simple equation but a very complicated dynamics. Perhaps more fundamental than continuous equations, and I'll tell you later why. And easier thing to learn numerically. You don't have to discretize anything. Everything is discrete. For instance, here I have integrable discretization of this equation. Now everything is on the lattice. X becomes n, and t becomes n. So this, in the continuum limit, goes to that. Apparently, it's very easy to discretize this, because just replace derivative with finite difference. But in practically all the cases, the equation will be chaotic. Non-trivial is to find an integral discretization. So you can see that this form is completely different from this. How can I find an integral discretization? So I have to develop some tools for see if a discrete equation is integrable or not. Okay? Some tools are the same as in the case of continuities. Lacks pair, much more difficult in discrete case. Multi-soliton solution, again, rather difficult. It's practically impossible to define a Hamiltonian structure because it's not possible to define a infinitesimal transformation of t. T is on the lattice, on the points. We cannot define what means an infinitesimal translation of time. And also, some other tools specific to discrete system have been developed, which I'm going to discuss in the second part of the seminar, like singularity analysis, complexity growth, polyhedral consistence. And the main results on this topic was the construction of discrete model equations, Sakai classification, as I told you before, and the classification of lattice-soliton equations using this consistence. This is a new kind of symmetry. It's very easy, but applied only to a very few number of equations. Although it's powerful enough. Okay? So this would be the case for discrete equations. Now comes the question, is there life after discrete integrability? We have anything else? And the answer is yes. Why? Because think about, I have a discrete system, okay? And I want to simplify as much as I can, even to transform it to a linear one, but to retain the nonlinear dynamics. How can I do that? So I have to invent the simplest nonlinear function. What is the simplest nonlinear function? Fx is what? X squared? No. Max of 0 and x. This is like that and that. So it's constant on 0 and just x. And the nonlinearity comes from the fact that in the 0 we have a discontinuity. So this is the simplest nonlinear function. So if I can transform my equation into some linear one, and the nonlinearity is being the simplest nonlinear function, then I simplify everything. So it works very easy. Okay? Let me give you an example. Take this lattice equation. It's an integrable equation. It's lattice modified by dB. Use this limit, high school limit, okay? It's high school exercise. Right? And then put this x replaced by this one. And this a replaced by this one. The main drawback is that x must be positive definite. Otherwise, I cannot do this. Okay? So in this limit, I obtain this one. This is the ultra-discretization of that. What is the advantage? So suppose my initial condition is a sequence of integers.
What do you mean ultra discrete? Could you explain?
Tropical. Tropicalization. Okay. Ultimate discretization. Okay. So suppose my initial condition is a sequence of integers. Then all the evolution will be sequence of integers. Suppose my initial condition is sequence of bits 0 and 1. All the evolution will be sequence of bits 0 and 1. So this makes the bridge with arithmetic dynamics, which is a very hot topic today, and very important, especially for cryptography. And for numerical, purposes, it's very convenient. Everything is integer, we don't have singularities, and everything goes immediately. But the main motivation is the Tuft idea. Gerhard Tuft came in 2010 in Cambridge, Conference of Integrable Systems. And he said that he's very, very interested in this type of equations because he believes that the space-time at a very deep level is no longer quantum. It's purely classical and it's like a cellular automaton, like ultra discrete. And he believed that quantum dynamics appear as a continuum limit of this. You know, continuum limit is very hard to fit because you have a max in the stability. So practically the probabilistic appear above. My hindsight of this idea is the following. Look, this looks like that. It's exactly like that. So practically this is just a dequantization of that. Okay? This is tropicalization. So this could be a hint for the Tuft idea. Of course, this is a very simplified picture, it's just an idea. This Tuft idea shows that quantum mechanics is no longer a fundamental theory. It's just a limit, complicated of course, of a purely classical cellular automaton dynamics.
Well, that's a hypothesis because not...
Yes, but I know, I was flabbergasted myself when I heard that because I thought that quantum mechanics is a fundamental theory, but he's been working on that since 1991 or something. He's
not trying many people believe that. Not many people believe that.
I know. this is a good idea. Yeah, okay. Now the question is, what is integrability here? It's very complicated because the equation is practically linear. The only nonlinear is up here. And moreover, it's not just the limiting of that. I mean, all the solutions from here can be found here. Not all the other solutions from here can be found here. But there are solutions which are here and that are not corresponding here. So practically, here we have a new mathematics. All we can compute are the integrals, and the integrals are expressed in terms of tropical elliptic functions. Okay? So that would be a very brief description of the topic of integrability. So this is our future direction. What happened to higher order equations? Not order 2, very difficult problem. What makes it discrete integrability? What makes supersymmetric integrability? This is a very important thing. There is no Jimbo-Miao equivalent of supersymmetric equations. And what is non-commutative integrability? What is WDDB, a non-commutative equation, you know, integrable or not? In relation to open-closed field. So that is the description of the topic. So if you have questions for this part, I'm ready. Now I'm going to go to the second part. Discuss the problem of integrability for difference equation order 2, nonlinear difference equation order 2, using singularities. It's exactly the one of the tools for integrability which I wrote with red color. Okay. As I told you, singularities play a very important role, and here we have the problem of finding invariants from the study of singularities. Okay. So, first I will say something about singularities and blow-ups, then generalities of half surfaces, then a result of classification of mappings, and then some examples. Okay? So, my equations will have the following form, where x up and y up are is written on the blackboard. So x up is xn plus 1, y up is yn plus 1. So everything is discrete, so I have practical iterations. Just iterating in M. Okay? So x and y are complex plus infinity, that's why I put here to give you a projective line. Everything being compactified. F and g are birational functions, not other than nonlinear, it's just birational. And here, which are also invertible. Phi and gamma are also birational functions. Unique. If it's not invertible, that means not at all integral. Because if it's not invertible, I have many branches of the backward evolution. Okay? This projective space is generated by x1 over x. As you know, p1 is generated by x1 over x. If x is 0, 1 over x is infinity. So everything is compactified. So according to this, I have a gluing of these four branches of coordinates. Okay? And now, singularities means point x and y, where f becomes non-determinate, like 0 over 0. And g becomes also 0 over 0. This gives troubles, and I have to get rid of them. Okay? So the main procedure to get rid of the singularities is a technique from algebraic geometry called the blow-up at the point, which is given by that. So if the point AB is a singular point, then my whole coordinate system x and y will be transformed to this coordinate system together with zeta 1, zeta 2, some additional coordinates such that x minus a is zeta 1 is x minus b is zeta 1. Oh, sorry, is zeta 2 is y minus b is zeta 1. So, in fact, I have another line of coordinates. So this is the x squared is that, y squared is like that, and here this is another line which is vertical. So it's like that. Okay? It's rather complicated to work with that at the beginning. And then, after counting all the singularities of my equation, I take all the points and do blow up of them. And of course, my projective space will be transformed to a complicated object, namely a surface X. And the mapping itself, my discrete equation, will be lifted to an equation from this transformed surface, which is P1, free of any singularity. So bear in mind that this is not an interval, this is just axis system, it's not an interval. Okay. Now I'm interested in what happened with phi depend on x with value in x. It's free or it's not free of singularities. So now, this is the philosophy. Check if it's free or from singularities. If not, then do another series of blow-ups. Identify the point of singularities until we get a new final surface and the final mapping which is free of any singularity. In this case, my mapping is completely irregular. Okay. And now, from the nonlinear world, we go to the Picard group. What is the Picard group? Picard group is a group of divisors. And the divisor plays a very important role in this analysis, so I have to insist a little bit on that. What is a divisor? Think about the formal combination of hypersurfaces. So like if I have a hypersurfaces given by a function, f for example x1, x0, then suppose my f is like a product, f1 power alpha 1, fk power alpha k. Then I can associate the divisor for this product like alpha 1 d1 plus alpha k dk. So it's just a kind of, this is a very, very intuitive, very intuitive image. So for instance, for x equals 0, I have the divisor ajx. For this equation is 0, I have the divisor 3 ajx, because this is qpx plus ay. And for the divisor of this form, I have a polynomial, which is power a for x, power b for y, and so on, until I get the filter. Okay? It can be defined, of course, more rigorously using the line bundles as a global section for line bundles defined for the functions f1, f2, fn, and so on. Now, in this group of divisors, everything is linear. And this is very important. Now I can compute everything, because my mapping is linear, everything is linear. So in this Picard group I can find invariants, type of surface S, value group which is related to the symmetries of the equations, and the complement, the orthogonal complement of the leak index. I'll show you in the coordinates. Then I go back to the nonlinear world, computing the real invariance from the form, exactly like I did before, with A, B, A, Y, and so on. And then, integrability is related to the type of the variable associated with the surface. Must be of a fine type. And if the system is solvable, then I have many other problems, the infinite number of singularities, but still can be solved. Okay? And now let me show you the main tools. First is the definition of the elliptic surfaces. I don't read the definition because it's complicated. Think about you have an elliptic curve, so y cube and x cube and y squared, which depend on the free parameter. This free parameter defines the vibration. This is called a vibration. Then the general Hilbert surfaces is a surface which have this property of the eigencanonical divisor. This divisor is that F for the volume form. Okay? It can be written in the sum of some irreductible curves, then it's called the general Hilbert surfaces. Okay? Hilbert surface of higher index is given by this definition. If I have curves with a free parameter for k and with no free parameter for k up to n minus 1, then I have Hilbert surfaces of index n. Here is what I said before. Okay. And now, this is the main result of my paper. So suppose I have an equation free of any singularities which preserve an elliptic vibration, which means an elliptic curve with alpha and beta 3, then p preserves alpha and beta, and the degree of fiber is 2m, or p does not preserve alpha and beta, and degree of fiber is 2m. Depends on what I say, p2 or p1. Depends on what is the definition. So now I'm going to give you an example to see exactly how can I work on this. Take this system. It's a discrete equation. These nonlinearities are very common in the biology. If you model genetic or biochemical reactions, all the nonlinearities are of this form, are just ratio of polynomials. So I can write down in this form. Now I identify the determinant points. For instance, I have here 0 and y is minus a, 0 over 0. Or I can have infinity and y is a, and so on. This group of points represents singularities of the direct mapping. This group of points are the singularities of the inverse mapping, or backward evolution. Okay? Do the blow-ups, check if phi defined x with value x has no other points, which is complicated. And this is a picture. So, this axis is x-axis, this is y-axis. Because I'm working in P1, I have to add infinity. This is y equal infinity axis. Everything is compact. And this is x is infinity axis. So these are points where I have to do blocks. Okay? I will show you later what means this process modeling. Then the Picard group is this module generated by over integers, and I have to introduce now the so-called intersection forms of divisors. Intersection forms, as I said, divisor is related to hypersurfaces, and the intersection form is, roughly speaking, how many points do I have intersection between curves, but it's not only that. I mean, you have to define more rigorously because I can have intersection form of the same divisor with itself. For instance, for a blow-up, intersection form is minus 1. So that's why the intersection form of two divisors, for instance, A to B is defined as the integral of Chern classes of A, wedge Chern classes of B. And A and B, the Chern classes are computed if the A and B are line bundles and C the curvature form. This is the anti-canonical divisor of the volume form. Okay? And the action is a linear, as I told you before. Everything is linear. So the action of the bundle mapping on the Picard group is just this big matrix. See what are the eigenvalues, the eigenvectors, eigenvalues 1 represents practically the invariance. This is the composition in terms of the curves. These curves are nothing but this. This is D1, this is D2, this is D3, and this is D4. Everything are intersected in points. And the linking diagram associated with this is exactly that. So it's just a rectangle. This is called AG1 surfaces in the Guadeira classification. Okay? The action of the mapping on every D1, D2 is just a rotation. And this is fascinating because it happens not only for integrals, but in even chaotic system, the action is just a rotation. Okay? Okay, and now I can find the invariant. So the invariant is given by this form, starting from this. So the invariant is exactly, so alpha and beta 3, so alpha over beta is 3, so this one over x and y gives me an invariant. However, if I apply the mapping on this, k goes to minus k. So my actual invariant, real invariant, is the square of that. So that's why I'm saying that it changed the bias. Okay. So I'm in the first case of my classification where the degree of bias is changed. So, of course, it's not possible to find another way this invariant. Now, what about group of symmetries? Group of symmetries relate to the orthogonal complement of the space of initial condition of that, because the rank of the Picard is this. This is the orthogonal thing, and everything which intersection form is zero, and we can find this generators. We define the elementary reflections by this way for any point of divisors. This is exactly a Cartan matrix which defines one type. For the root that is associated. So now I'm defining also permutation of roots, permutation of 0, 1 roots, permutation of all the roots. And in this case, I have an extending value of all the reflections and the permutations. And my mapping is practically expressed in elementary reflections of a crystallographic group. Okay. One can see that power of 4 is a translation, while by itself is not, which is out of the Sakai classification. This is a new thing. Okay. And this D5...
Sorry?
Yes?
What is outside of the Sakai classification?
I don't know. This is D5. This is the linking diagram of D5. Okay. What is outside, you can tell you what is outside. Yeah. In the Sakai classification, V5 is a translation in the value. Here is not a translation, but only power 4 of it is. So it's out. That's because it changed the fibers.
Okay.
This is how to be transformed my equation to the Jimbo Sakai boundaries. Okay, so this is the first example. Second example is in another equation. And I'm doing the same machinery with blow-off surfaces. Now I have to take two more blow-offs because these are just seen from the equation, but this is nothing from the equation. I have to take another. What appears on the surfaces. Okay? And this is an anticanonical divisor which can be decomposed in this way. The orthogonal complement is again for one, is the same. And now, compute the invariant. Unfortunately, if I take x squared plus y squared minus something which is zero in E1, E8, I give a trivial result. But this is not a quantum quantity, so I have to go further. Okay. In this case, I found precisely what is this invariant. This invariant is much more complicated, and it's given by the threshold polynomials. And I don't have changing of the bias, so here is in the Sakai classification. But the degree is bigger, because I have minus 2 kx. Okay. And I can have both of the cases. A much more complicated mapping. This is the inverse. This is the blow-off points. So I have to check phi goes to an x, then to x1, then to x2. So it's more complicated calculations. The violet group is no longer simply based, unfortunately. and the canonical advisor can be computed like that. And again, there is no curve with free parameter for SMWKX. I have a curve, but there's no free parameter. I have a curve also for my SMWKX with free parameter. But again, this k is changed to minus k. So accordingly, the constant quantity will be higher order. So my integral of motion is given by this huge, would be a very huge expression. So this is very briefly what means integrability in this case. And if I have more than 8 blocks, then I have to, then my elliptic surface is not minimal, so I have to minimize my blowdowns. So it's quite complicated. Nothing is done for a higher order system, unfortunately. Because for higher order system, it's, we have to blow up not only points, but also lines and analysis and graphics. Okay. So, that is. Thank you very much.
What is known about the case when you replace P1 cross mu P1 by
P2?
No, by P1 bundle over P1, a rule surface, by a rule surface.
A rule surface?
Yeah, a P1 bundle over P1.
In the rule surface you have a linearizable case.
Right.
That's what I mean.
Only in the linearizable.
Linearizable case you have a rule surface, it's not a elliptic surface.
No, I'm not asking about the resolution.
So okay.
You start...
With P1 times P1.
You start with the dynamical system defined on a rule surface. Like a Hilbert surface?
Yes, okay.
Before resolving. So when
yes,
you resolve
okay,
it, you might...
No, I can start from defining on P2, simply, immediately. But it's much easier to work, I mean, computationally.
But now, in the case when you study dynamical systems defined on FP, so
P1,
you start the dynamical
yeah,
system...
Yeah, okay, yes.
Is this
over here, Hilbert surface, I don't know. I don't think it's done.
I don't think it's done.
General Hilbert surface, yes, I don't think it's done. No. It would be a very nice problem.
Any other questions?
So,
yes.
Nothing in higher dimension.
Nothing. No differences. It's already depressing into them. It's a Mori theory of singularities for higher dimensional matrix, the flip-flops and so on. Florinandro told me about it.
Bayesian classification
of three manifolds.
Three folds is very
difficult. But
issue is minimal.
We've got metal here for that.